We move forward into our exposition this morning. Repeat after me from our major document, Scripture Distinctions. A map of actualization by God's decree in eternity.
Of actualization by God's decree in eternity.
From manifestation in time. And we move to section 3. Take out your section 3, everyone. Repeat after me. Conjoining faith to free will.
Conjoining faith to free will.
Inevitably.
Induces futility.
All right, we had moved to page 83. Go to page 83. Remember, we were ministering there, and time ran out on us last week. Anna Nicholson is our designated reader. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Also, we shall be touching on briefly, as we did in the Bible study Friday evening, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And also, I passed out to you a brief outlay of there. Hopefully, everyone got it. These are our matrix derivatives. Everybody said the matrix.
Matrix.
The essence of us deriving the display and this and depictions of those things that are the testimonial component of this plan to us. Purpose of God's and workings, in the essence of what is actualized, which goes beyond those things that have been played on the matrix. Again, everybody said the matrix. Here we look at, take that document out, we look at the Greek word there. Metron. It is apparently a primary word there, which is translated measure. Remember, a few weeks ago or so, we were dealing, as Paul wrote in Corinthians chapter 10, and he said, concerning those, he said, we are not what? Bold to rank ourselves. We are not those that rank ourselves or compare ourselves, commending ourselves, and quote, measuring ourselves. Here, the absolutely outrageous act. Actually, here you have the Greek word metronomes, which is rendered measuring. Some other derivatives of that word is the word hyperbole, which we get transliterations there, hyperbole. That's excellent, and so forth. And of course, we should never deal with essence of that which we think is anything in that category that is up on the matrix. You are speaking of that which is above manifestation, that which is actualized in eternality. Then we get the word Amatros. Of course, A in front of anything means what? Not. It's not. So here, that negative particle deal with things that are not measurable, that is immensely above being measured. Here, when that is expressed, it is speaking about or talking about those things that are above that which is on the matrix. In other words, that which is in the heavens, or that which is in the sphere of eternality, and does not in any way exist in time. Other things that we will be looking at this to not today as so much as in our second book that we are into now heavily, will be this summer dealing with don't be afraid of God's will, because the actuality of God's will abides in the heavens in Christ Jesus rather than up on the matrix. Here at the bottom of the page, as we define matrix, here it is something within or from which something else originates, develops, or takes form. It's the essence of that which is there, it is displayed, but as we shall look at this morning briefly in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11, the thing that is or that is appearing is not the essence of what is. There is something else that forms the reality or actuality, and what is appearing does not come from, does not define what is. What is appearing is really the mirror image, the image that comes, y'all don't hear me this morning, out of the mirror. I said, Pastor, you're talking way out there. No, we're not. And when we get into Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, in fact, most people, what they do is they quote 1 and 2 and they never touch verse 3. And actually, without dealing with verse 3, you really don't know what you're talking about in verse 1 and 2. And so, as time goes on, we shall deal with those aspects. Let's, in a review form, go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Everybody got it again? Remember last week we had contextualized this, and hopefully we don't have to go through that again today, amen, except to corroborate something that we brought up in Sunday school this morning concerning Paul's usage in the word translated endeavor, and some says study, actually in King James it says study, but endeavor or make the greatest effort. Here, that Greek word is an aorist imperative, a command. So someone said, "Well, then how can God command that and then it's not done?" Amen. Go back into the other aspects of it, of that passage in contextual form, you see at the beginning that he speaks to those who are the faithful ones. He says to Timothy, commit this unto the faithful ones who shall be enabled to teach others, so that we'll understand what is going on there. This verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, speaks of those enabled. Amen. Alright, Elder, won't you read that first in the King James? That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, which we had gone through some aspects of it. I'm not going to be too long today. Amen. You pray for me.
Amen. 3:18.
Yes.
King James was an interlineal.
Read King James first and then the interlineal.
Ephesians 3:18. King James Version, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
All right, let's read that from the Greek. Everybody just got you interlineal. Verse 18.
Verse 18 from the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
In order that...
You see that difference, that it skipped that word.
Ye may have strength to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth.
Amen. And of course he goes on also, why don't you just go ahead and read 19.
And to know the excelling knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may be filled to all the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, notice here, basically, you got that Greek word that we just talked about. Hmm? That which is off the chart. It is the Greek word hypovaluson. That which is above, that which is off the chart. That which excels. Paul said, you look up on the matrix and you see a lot of things. But I want you to go above what's on the matrix. We are looking at the matrix to define what is above the matrix. Matrix is like a grid, a mat. On it, you have the essence of space and time and matter. But they're all in... reflected forms, all in forms of those things that are mirrored. You see so everything up there, joy, peace, you see sorrow, you see fear. it's all arrayed and outlined, detailing the things of life that each of us will encounter. It has dates there. All of the dates, which cause time is a component of it, but it is one big noun. Sequencing our time allotments are for the sake of conveying to us God's workings. This will not be, listen to me, this will not be necessary in our glorified bodies. In eternality, this is not necessary. This is for now. So we go through day by day, and in our mind, it's like I used the true example last week. You ever sit on a plane, you just sit down, and then the plane started backing out. You ever looked at out the window? It looks like the other plane is moving. That looked like you moving. So basically, that's what life is. It looks like we move from yesterday to today. Yesterday, today, tomorrow is all one big now. Everybody say eternal now. There's no sequencing. The year of AD 9, 129, 529, 1029, 1529, 1929, 2029. It's all up there on the matrix as one big now. The only thing that moves through it is the human conscious. That's the only thing that moves. In other words, 1929, we say it has passed. It hasn't passed. It's still there. Because the essence of it is the reflection in the mirror. What is actualized by God's decree. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Some of you are looking at me very puzzled this morning. Amen. I've held back on this as long as I'm going to. It's coming out now. Amen. Hebrews Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Again, most of us, when we go to Hebrews, we start off, faith is the substance of things here. Well, the evidence of things not being seen. And we just run through it. And we are, you know what we're all thinking? We're thinking on the physical plane. We're thinking in the sphere of physicality.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking physical. We're thinking of things in time. That's not what Paul is talking about. In verse 3, he lays out the essence of the matrix. And this verse that we just read, and we're going to come back to it in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks of breadth, length, height, and depth. And in neither one of these is he talking about anything physical. Well, you look at the context of Ephesians chapter 3, and you don't see anything that's physical. From the moment he opens that chapter, he's talking about the mystery, he's talking about a new dispensation that had not been heard of. In Ephesians, he speaks of that which God laid out from the beginning, and we went through verse 10 last week. That Greek word archis there is what? It means beginning. And all he's saying there is what was authorized from the beginning. But where does it reside? It resides in the only place of actuality, which is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that ontologizes the thing. So when we get here to Ephesians chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, Paul is basically talking above, he's talking rather, in verse 3, above the essence of that which is appearing, and letting you know that that's not the actual, what they call, real deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they go into chapter 11, and they go into verse 1 and 2, and they talked about how the elders obtained a good report, and that's really the translation from the King James. Amen. And that Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't say that. Amen. Well, you mean he didn't obtain that? Well, you look at the verb there. Amen. It's basically it's not speaking of something that they of themselves received. It's just like the knowledge and the understanding that God gives. None of us, pastor, no one else, can stand here and take credit for the enlightenment of God's word, of what we know and what we comprehend. It has all been given to us. It has been gifted. It has been granted. You all don't hear me. It's been granted to us. We know because God revealed it to us. We just read from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Basically read that you may be having been fully enabled. If you are enabled, that means that you are not able originally, but the ability now comes from the fact of something that was granted to you. And so when he speaks of comprehending with the saints, the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, those things that are beyond physicality, and here he's dealing with the essence of what's there, but actually what's behind what's there. Again, as we said last week, scientism says in a verse that you have time and you have space on one hand and you have matter on the other, and matter is telling time and space where to go, and time and space is telling matter what to do. And what did they leave out of there?
Purpose.
That's what controls everything that's up on the matrix. Everything that's arrayed in life is according to God's purpose. Everything that is arrayed in life. Everything that goes down. You might not like it, but God has a purpose for it. And we have to somehow come to the conclusion that we do not have a hand in running the universe. Amen. God has an agenda. In fact, his agenda is the only agenda. God's agenda is the only agenda. There's no agenda other than God's agenda. So when we look at this and we see the whole panoramic view of it, and of course, just touching on this today, and we're going to move on, but I'm telling you, as we move into the fall, and we move, especially next year, if the Lord so has deemed it, get to our conference, look out. Amen. You got to really put on your eyes of faith. As God will allow us to look beyond what's on the matrix and see the essence of purpose. Everybody said purpose. Which is the controlling factor of everything that is. Alright. So when you look in Hebrews chapter 11, they're talking about the substance of things hoped for, and they're still thinking physicality. And basically, they just skim through verse 3, and then they go through the rest of the chapter talking about heroes of faith. Don't you ever refer to anybody in chapter 11 of Romans as a hero. And that starts even when you, Enoch? Nope. Moses? Noah? Nope. Abraham? Nope. Moses? Nope. You can go on down through it, all the way through to the end of the chapter. Those that they call heroes of faith, Isaac? Nope. Jacob? Nope. Joseph? No. As we said before, Moses? No. And you can come on down into our dispensation. All of those who've served the Lord, amen, Peter, and everybody that's there, hear him when he talks about all of the things that were done, amen. Each and every one of those, going back to Ephesians chapter 3, they were enabled. They were enabled. God vetoed their depravity. Because each one whose name we have called this morning, they did some bad things too. You know, yeah, you said, well, you know, Abraham, he stood tall and so forth, but Abraham also lied. He went down into the promised land, and it didn't look like what he thought God said was because he was looking at physicality. And so he went down into Egypt and got in trouble, and one of the things he did, he was lied. Well, Noah got drunk. Huh? Didn't he? Huh? I mean, you can go on down the line. Joseph wasn't perfect. Amen. We can see things that he did. He did that were wrong. He was braggadocious. Huh? I mean, you can go on down the line. Amen. And you can see all things that were done. So don't call anybody in there a hero. Amen. In fact, don't use that word. Huh? That word comes close to the word idol. Don't. You see, why are we so careful here? We always say, thank God, let's give God praise for brother so-and-so having done something, or sister so-and-so, so forth, so on. Because what we're doing is we're acknowledging that depravity didn't do it. We're giving God praise for vetoing depravity. Amen. Because if you see me doing right, God's using me. You see me acting like some of you probably see me over the years. Amen. On occasion. Amen. That's me. That's depravity. I'm not bragging about that, but I'm just saying, you know, that's just the way it is. So basically, that which is positive comes from God. Now for the matrix, you got the pluses and the minuses. You got the pluses and the minuses. You got the whole parameter of God's purpose in testimony. And all of it, none of it, is in the essence actualized in itself. What is actualized is in the decree. What you are viewing is what is mirrored, the reflection. So when we talk about the matrix again, remember the definition we gave you. It is something within from which something else originates. Or it takes form. It's like when you cast a mold, you make a mold, you got to design that, right? The mold itself is not the origination. The mold is a design. And so what is reflected is in the mold, but the mold itself was designed. Everything that happens in life was designed. Nothing of itself. Listen to me this morning. Where did that thing come from? Purpose. Why did this happen? Purpose. What is the origin of this? Purpose? You mean to say God did I didn't have nothing to do with that. That's the craziest thing. Let's go with what the Word of God said.
Amen.
All right, Elder, read chapter 11. Verse 3. Let's just start there.
King James Version. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear, which do appear.
I mean, just the King James trying to trying to verbalize that. should be enough to get the faith. But let's go to the Greek.
The Greek manuscript. By faith we understand to have been adjusted the ages by a word.
So they were adjusted or they were made or prepared how?
By word of God.
Hold on a minute. By word of God. Keep on reading it. By word of God.
Not out of things appearing, the thing which being seen to have become.
Now that's but see that he's got you see the asterisk he's got there by the word yegonine. See that word yegonine, that last word there he's got transferred to have become. That's an infinitive. And of course, in the English, when we deal with the infinitive, what do we say? We put to in front of it, of a verb there, to be, to have, which automatically throws it where? In the future context. You know, when you say his wife to be, that means that her husband to be, that means it's not yet, right? So you put that to in there. Go to the Greek there. No gerunds in the Greek, but we freely use in translation gerunds. What is the gerund? You take a verb and you put ing on it. Being, having. Amen. To take it out of the category of what? Of the future.
Okay.
Now, here we have to go a little further in this word yegonine, because it's an infinitive in the perfect tense.
Amen.
Follow me here. What's the perfect tense?
Completed action with ongoing results.
Now, how far is that from the future? That's the opposite. That's the complete opposite of the future. Isn't it?
It is.
Huh?
It is.
It's in that accusative case. Here, we've translated having happened and is happening, or having been created and is being actually manifested. In other words, something that was and is. And so that basically is what he said as we back up here and we deal with this other verb here, the poimenon, which is translated seen. It is a participle. What is a participle?
Verb adjective.
It's a verb adjective. What's an adjective? It does what? It describes something. It's in the present tense. But guess what? It's in the passive voice. So what is being seen or what is being viewed by you is basically not of your doing.
That's right.
And since what's appearing is on the matrix, listen to me, and we'll be back to this, though, if you don't pick it up all the day, we'll be back to this. What's on the matrix is not basically the essence of what is actualized.
Mm-hmm.
It is a reflection, and just like anything that you have reflection on, it depends upon the angle that you're looking at as to what you perceive. Remember when we talk about matter, basically antimatter. What is antimatter? Antimatter is the reverse of matter. In fact, this is how you get x-rayed. How do you remove your skin and your bones in order to be x-rayed? How do you remove the matter of your flesh? What they do is they introduce antimatter, which cancels out the matter of your flesh, and the only thing that's there is the light ray. Huh? And basically, the essence of that which is ontologized, or that which exists, is merely a light ray. As you gaze upon the matrix. Look back into this word here, into this verse here, as Elder just read. We have a noun. We have the noun remati. Remati. The word of faith, people like to use that word a lot. Rema. Word of faith.
Yeah,
basically talking about physical stuff.
Absolutely.
That Greek word basically is trust. It's a singular. It's singular. Notice here now, same, not sayings. So everything that is prepared is through one saying,
all right,
or one decree. God's creation is through one saying, one decree, not decrees. You see, we start to sequence and stuff and categorizing things and laying them out in sequential form, you squirrel into time. But time is a creation. God created time.
Amen.
It's one decree. You were lost and saved in one saying.
Hallelujah.
You say, well, I have to be saved in time because I was lost in time. No, you weren't. You were never lost. Not in actualized form.
Yeah.
You were never lost. We would talk because, of course, if you started dealing with this thing from the vantage point of what is conveyed in the Edenic covenant back in Genesis, of course, Genesis raises more questions than in and all of the rest of the portions of the Old Testament. They raise more questions than they answer. And so we see everything all sequenced there, and that's the way we think. In other words, they taught us that Adam was perfect in the garden; he was saved. Then, when he sinned against God, he lost his salvation.
Amen.
And so now, to get it back, each one of us got to do something.
Right.
Then, when we come along, when we go into the essence of Ephesians chapter 1, and we begin to convey the actuality of salvation being an eternal work. Someone said, well, he couldn't save me in eternity because I wasn't lost. I got to be lost before I can be saved. We sequencing. There's no, are y'all following me? There's no sequencing in eternity. One decree, one saying. Look at this word here, remity. It is singular. Same. Not sayings. Now when we look into Genesis again, we see on the first day God did this, and the second day so that. That's written according to that covenant. This is what makes us think that God makes daily decisions.
Right.
That God is almost like us. You see, wake up in the morning, say, God, the new day comes, say, well, let's see what I've got to lay out and plan something for the day. That's you and me. That's not God. One decree. Everybody say one decree.
One decree.
Everything is there, actualized.
That's right. Hallelujah.
That's what separates us from God. The essence of it. So what is basically being conveyed in that verse 3, and like I say, I'm not going to be too long. I do feel a little better than I thank the Lord. What is conveyed in that verse 3 is the essence of one saying of which everything is actualized. And Paul is letting you know that's where things were prepared. That's where things were created. That's where things were perfected.
Yes, Lord.
We have a verb there next to an infinitive. We have the verb there, nooming, which is indicative present, which speaks of the things that we are perceiving. Right next to it, we have an infinitive. Infinitive katatisthi. It means prepared. Notice now, it is in the perfect tense and the passive voice. So that which is created or prepared, you see, a thing is because it was.
Right. Right.
The essence of what you see is a result of God's saying.
Yes, sir. That's right.
What is manifested is that which is materialized from that which is actualized. That which is actualized is in God's word. That's what makes it real.
Yeah.
That's what brings it into being.
Mm-hmm.
A saying. God said it. That's why it is.
That's right.
And that will help us through life, because there are many things up on the matrix. And if you understand that they're all coming from what is actualized, we can do like Mother Goodlow Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And say, why should I be sitting here worried about something already happened?
Mm-hmm.
I said, Pastor, you're crazy. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You know, we look at the thing and we're frightened to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're no better off than the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they take vitamins, we have to take vitamins.
Huh?
Huh? out, but we're also stressed out. They're for long, we're also for long. Now here we are, members of the body of Christ, having been given his nature. And we're stressed out because of some bill that's behind. I said, well, you said that you shouldn't carry it. No, that's not what we're saying. What did Paul write? He said, don't be over anxious.
Right.
You look at that word. In other words, don't put that thing in high gear. No, it's there. Look at it. Be concerned, but only in the sense that it's there and it's something that's there for a purpose.
Right.
You know, kids acting crazy, go to bed and go to sleep.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Amen. Get a bad report from the doctor? Go to sleep. No matter what's going on out there, relax. Everybody say relax.
Relax.
It's something up on the matrix. For purpose. And your conscience is like the light that just moving through the sequentiality of it, and that which is being sequenced for purpose, and you're moving through for the sake of testimony. You have no control of anything up on that matrix. Nothing. Oh, God, help us to understand this. This is why Apostle Paul could be in the writes Philippians from jail. And what did he say?
Rejoice.
What's there to rejoice about being incarcerated? And they're plotting to take your life.
Yeah.
He said, they're bound, but the word of God is not bound. Because he understood purpose. And as you go through life and you see these things, oh my God, you begin to live and you're not asking why is that, but what? What is it for? What is it for? What is it for? What is that?
Thank God.
What's the purpose?
What's the purpose?
Paul in the 17th verse of the 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians, he said, basically as he looks around at the things that he was going through, didn't consider them to be on the par with what is actualized. In other words, what is manifested is not on the same par with what is actualized. Is it?
No, it's not.
And because it is not on the same plane or the same, doesn't carry the same weight.
Right.
He said, he looked up on the matrix and he saw afflictions and he said, they are light.
I
said, man, you crazy. This thing about to run me. This thing about to just send me into orbit.
Glory
to God. He says, light.
Thank God.
Paul, what do you mean it's light? He said, because the fact that it's on the matrix means what? It's temporary. Come on. It's quick. In comparison to the actuality of what is, what has been manifested is quick. share in the light afflictions.
Yeah.
Then he deals with purpose. He said, God is working something. What is God working? Far more exceeding. Here, my God. Here we get that word that we got in there, we gave you this morning. Amen. It's translated hyperbole. And here, let me just express it how to really actually express it. It's excessively, but let me just do the act. Allow me to do a little bit of
exercise.
Huh? Oh my God. It's hyperbole. It's hyperbole. In other words, he takes a hyperbole and then he puts another hyperbole on top of that. And then he puts another hyperbole on top. Oh my God. He said, what God has done far away. And to this end, he says, a far more exceeding are actually basically excessively to excess an eternal weight of glory. Because he is not moved or controlled or relegated by what he's looking at on the matrix. Because basically what we see on the matrix is only what that light is focusing on at that moment. Remember, you got this day, you got yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and so forth. It's all one. And many times, we're stressing out over problems that have already been solved.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. We are.
One way or the other.
Amen.
And this is why in the following verse, again, he says, we're looking as we dealt with that became our theme verse in the conference. We're not looking at what? We're not looking at the things being seen. Because they're what? The temporary for the matrix. Oh my God, huh? You got something being reflected for a moment. And it's light because it's quick. And the essence of it is that it is coming from something, and you're looking at the testimony of that which is depicted, but the purpose of it, amen, far exceeds what you're looking at. Joseph has to be sold by his brothers and thrown in a pit and putting the get down. You all like that Old Testament says. Bring a couple of those in there. Huh? Moses has to be driven into the desert before he receives his orders and his commission.
Yeah.
And you can go on down the line. Pastor Paul has to be knocked down off of his beast and stripped before he can receive the revelation of the mystery.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
And he testifies of it and he says, oh my God, the thing that I had, I cut it down, I cut it off for the excellency of the knowledge of God, the purpose far away, while I was going down.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Oh God, help us. As we go through day by day, these are things that God has intended and he has cost your life. In each one of us, we move by a different light, our conscience. What's been assigned to me has not been assigned to you. That's why I hate these, and I hate the ministers, but I hate what they're preaching, these prescriptions and panaceas for following five ways how to do something. Don't you know what can bless the goose can kill the gander? The same thing that might work for person A might be the downfall of person B. Because it's not about the thing, it's about the purpose. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. So what if you go do this, then you'll be blessed and fulfilled. And people just write stuff down there. And then you go out there and try it. And the stuff ain't getting better, it gets worse. But what did you forget? Purpose. The same medicine that might cure one person may have a reaction of, what you call it, medicinal reaction, and it kills the next person. Because of it, one person taking it, they live. Because the other person take it, it mixes with something else and it kills them. You've heard of that happen. Same medicine. When about the medicine, it's about the purpose.
Yeah.
And you must understand this. If not, life is going to beat you up. And when you should be rejoicing, you're crying. When you should be happy, you're sad. When you should be confident, you're terrified. One case, Paul writes, don't be terrified. Oh my God, help us. And also, that's an imperative. Oh my God. Let's go back to page 83, and I'm through with this for a while, okay? But we will be back. Amen. We will be in your face with this. It's all written. I'm having to kind of break it down from the way it's now written, especially in the book, Don't Be Afraid of God's Will. Basically, we are having to break that down into some other type of components of expression, especially for those that are not part of this ministry, and for those that are part of this ministry, because there are those in this ministry, we're really not buying the doctrine. We're not really comprehending. I mean, not from the essence. I mean, I know you love me and respect me and all of that. So, but the essence of it, if you get this, it translates down into your daily life.
Amen. Glory to God.
And you're not stressed out by things that have already happened.
Amen.
Everybody at the top of page 83, say amen. We're back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. It exemplifies, and here quoted again, that you may be having been fully able or enabled to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. Again, as we look at that, we're not dealing with anything that is physical. Okay? And so as you look at the essence of all of these things that are going down here, these are not things that he is speaking of from the standpoint of what is in physically before you. No, he's not, basically. He's not dealing with that, you know? Now, here, notice this. We have a conjunction here. Conjunction is ina. It is rendered that. It conveys the subjunctive mood. What is subjunctive mood?
Probability.
Then what is the aorist tense?
Yes.
So here we're dealing with it conveys the aorist tense to connote God's express purpose. Maintaining the flow of the context of the antecedent or previous verses. Are you with me? The conveyance is that Christ may live in the hearts of his elect. How? Through the faithfulness of God. Your life is dominated by not what's in the matrix, but that which is in his word. God said it. And you're thoroughly convinced. That is, in him having imparted spiritual comprehension to designated ones. Not everybody. It does not mean the other person is not saved. Now, we're just saying that to certain ones, and Paul writes, of course, we dealt with that in Sunday school this morning again. We mentioned again. And he says to Timothy, he said, commit what you have heard from me, these things, tophta, these things. What things, Paul? That which God has given me in the mystery, you commit that to faithful ones, who in turn shall be able to have been enabled, haven't been enabled. Remember that was in the aorist tense? To faithful ones, a designated ones, haven't been enabled to teach others. And so basically, it is in him having imparted spiritual comprehension, I should say, to designated ones as those having been rooted and grounded in eternal knowledge. Hence, the statement of this verse is that you may be fully able or unable to comprehend with all the saints the extent of God's comprehensive grace for his beloved. Note, again, the verb there, the as the Christ see that, it is rendered fully able. It is derived from ek, what does ek means, and is creole. It's denoting the one having been fully capacitated. That is, such ones may be having been made very strong, highly capable, and abundantly able to comprehend all the ramifications of God's eternal workings in and of his what? Divine decree. Keep your eyes on the decree.
Amen.
Here we have infinitive. Katalos vesthe, which is rendered comprehend. It is derived from kata, which means according to, or for, and regarding to, and lambano. It is literally noted to take a hold down, hence those that may be highly capable of intellectually grasping, mentally laying hold, and understanding with all the saints enlightened aspects of the love of Christ. This is defined as a voice quadrangle. Repeat after me again. Breath.
Length.
Height.
Depth.
But when you get into the actual conveyance here, what Apostle Paul is conveying. We did went through that last week. Our time is gone basically for the day. Amen. We will just go right quickly through a couple of them. The first one is Plotos. Now remember now, each one of these is in a nominative case. So this is the subject that is driving what is being conveyed in this verse. Plotos, which is translated here, breath, actually, it's the extent. That's the matrix. So, and mikos. That's the length. We'll be back to this. And ipsos. That's the height. But actually, that word is translated high position or heavenlies. So where it says height, he's talking about high position or heavenlies. And then lastly, vapros. That's the depth of the extreme. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 5, that same expression is used in conveying extreme hardship. In the one we just left, isos, that deals with the word heavenlies, in James chapter 1 verse 9 is only dealing with that corroboration in the sake of the grammar that is expressed exalted, exaltation, the highs. And so what Paul is talking about is those haven't been able to scripturally and eternally eternity, read what abominations. Comprehend what's off the matrix.
Right.
See it for what it is.
Right.
Something just passing through. But knowing that God's got you covered. Everybody said, God's got me covered.
God has got me covered.
All right, give me 5 minutes here, and we'll be back to this matrix. Go back to your document. So the statement that you may be haven't been fully able to comprehend all the saints conveys ultimate growth and development of testimony in the body of Christ. Are you with me? Those of whom such blessings haven't been bestowed. In this encyclical epistle, what do you mean? It is only given to those to comprehend whom God, as he said here, has enabled. In fact, all of Paul's epistles, fall into that category. And that's why Peter couldn't understand it. Had nothing to do with Peter's lack of intelligence. You can only understand this as, man, we should be shouting. God has opened this thing up to us. He has caused us to see beyond the things that are around us. Oh, the love of God having worked in our lives. That you know it. When everyone doesn't know it. So he said, together here with all the saints are and have been caused to abundantly comprehend the limitless love of Christ in eternality. You notice where it abides in eternality. If you look at that time, if Paul just looked at what happened to him in time, we almost have to say he got a rotten deal, didn't he? After having been given the revelation of the mystery, he was the poorest man in town, the sickest man in town. Everybody hated him. But he looked beyond that, and right into Timothy as he was ready to go. Amen. He said, there's a crown of righteousness awaiting me. That wouldn't mean too much to the prosperity.
No.
Mm-mm. Look at this. Last paragraph at the bottom of page there. Page 83. Amen. I feel all right now. I could probably go another hour, but I know you're not going to let me. I knew I'd get some amens there. The eternal workings of God, everybody see that? This is what we leave with today. The eternal workings of God were actualized and oriented in his divine decree. They are thus complementary testimonies and manifestation of God's eternal plan, will, and purpose, exhibiting the mastery of his power and wisdom, which he will display in the end, that is, in all. That's from the beginning to the end. That's what. In other words, everything up on that matrix will become comprehensible in the eternal sense. You mean I understand it now? Because sometimes maybe God, some of us think that God has abandoned us. Maybe he doesn't love us. Maybe he's mad at us about something. That's the kind of stuff we've been taught.
Yeah.
You do A, God gets displeased, he retaliates. That's not, Paul is above the fray here. Hence, originality of all creation and operations reside within the ingredients of the aforementioned consistencies. Again, breadth, length, height, and depth. It's translated here. This is spiritually discernible. Everybody says spiritually discernible. The big picture. Everybody said the big picture. And realistic sight of existence. Everything comprising one's memorial trip through the time capsule encompasses a collection of tribute contribute trinkets. Even the occurrences that feature the so often misconstrued exhibition of random impressionisms, they are actually manifested ventures historically solely in the sense of eternal intentions. Everybody say eternal intentions. Now, scripture research in the gospel of grace exudes the successful finality of all having been enlisted in the limited communications of mankind's limited ability due to human depravity, yet the extent of God's unlimitedness, extremes of antithetical entropies, that is, random forces of life, the things that are up there on that matrix. Listen, the extremes of antithetical things up there on that matrix. They don't preclude accomplishment of his purpose. Don't you look at that thing as, that thing is nothing within itself. It is a component of God's purpose. According to what? The pleasure of his will. Now, if you be like the person that I talked to one time, and this is what inspired the subject, don't be afraid of God's will. I was going through something, and I was talking about the will of God. Whoa, Pastor, don't tell me about the will of God. I'm afraid of what the will of God might be. Don't be afraid of God's will. Listen, neither the manifested ages of chaos nor the assaults of conflicts are ever a barrier to his power and wisdom in any sense, in any way. God's in control, has been in control, always will be in control. Give him a praise.
Amen.